Support for KISU from Lookout Credit Union, the Southeast Idaho credit union that has the educational community in mind. Providing financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, staff, alumni, as well as local school district teachers, students, and many others. Lookout Credit Union currently has 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. Lookout Credit Union, formerly ISU Credit Union, continues the legacy of serving the educational community.
Coming up next, it's Bengal Buzz with your host Ryan Sargent as he welcomes new Director of Annual Giving at University Advancement, Lisa Przybylski.
Good evening and welcome to Bengal Tales. My name's Ryan Sargent. We're excited that you're able to join us tonight. And I'm so excited for our guest, Lisa Przybylski, who is our new joined us here on our team at Idaho State University as our new Director of Annual Giving. Lisa, thanks for joining us tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for everyone to get to know you, not only through this show, but in the coming months, our alumni and our supporters to get to know you. And I think you're going to do some amazing things for ISU and primarily raising money for our students.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm excited for that, too. Can't wait to meet more folks, alumni, like you mentioned. And really hoping to create some positive change here and raise some dollars for ISU.
Awesome. Well, we'll get into that maybe a little bit later, but I think it'd be more fun to get to know who you are first. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from?
Sure, yeah. So I was born and raised in the west suburbs of Chicago, Elmhurst, in case anybody knows where that is at all.
You say that like no one would ever know, but Amy Dressel in our office is from like the same area,
she's
right?
She's from, so that's a DuPage County suburb, and she's from DuPage County. So when you shared with me that she was on board, and I know she's been here for a number of years, more than me, 3, I think, to be exact, I was like, gosh, what are the odds? So pretty cool to have somebody on the team that's not just from the Chicagoland area, but in fact, the same county.
I mean, in our office, we've got as many, folks from Illinois as we do from Idaho.
So. I was going to say, we're taking over. Watch out. Uh-oh. I'm just kidding, everybody. That's super cool. So we'll have that to talk about. But everybody I've met here so far has been fantastic. I'm thrilled to be here in Idaho, specifically at ISU. So from Chicago, Chicagoland area. What else specifically do you want to know about? Sorry. Where I was born and raised. Spent a lot of time in Michigan, the summer home there that my family has. So had a lot of fun doing that. Most recently, I lived in the city of Chicago and worked in the city of Chicago for the majority of my career. And then actually moved back to the suburb that I was from and worked at Elmhurst University for almost 3 years before moving out this way.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about where you went to school. Went to high school and everything in the Chicago suburbs, but where'd you go to college?
Yeah, so I headed to University of Colorado at Boulder. I actually followed my sister out there. I applied to all Midwest schools, so University of Michigan, University of Illinois, all that good stuff. And last minute, was like, I'm headed west. And was really super fortunate.
And you had a sister there already.
Right, yeah, exactly.
In Boulder.
That's the reason why I applied there, but just I was like, I'm not going to go there. And why I would ever think that, because I had visited before and it's beautiful and a great school. And last minute, I was like, no, I'm heading out. I'm heading out of the Midwest. And I was fortunate to be able to go there. Wonderful school, beautiful school. I was a communications major there.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed my time.
So how did your sister end up at Colorado? I mean, it just seems like kind of a,
I don't want to say randomly, she just did research on it and decided she wanted to go there. So I have to give her credit because I would not have.
You benefited from that same research, huh?
And that'll probably come up in a minute here as to how I got to Pocatello. We can talk about that. But I can't fully answer that, but she did some independent research, as far as I know, landed there and was the catalyst for me applying there. I got in, obviously, because I attended. And, I had a great 4 years out there.
Awesome. So you studied communications. What was your favorite thing about being a student at University of Colorado?
That's a great question. I mean, there are a lot of
things. you can name multiple things. Tell us about
why. Well, I thought you were specifically going to ask about my major, and my major was perfect for me. So can I go that way?
Yeah, let's talk about your major.
Yeah, so communications wasn't journalism there, because sometimes I think people think that. It was, human communications, kind of like the art of communications, what makes people tick, kind of their worldviews. That is very innately something that I've always been interested in. There was one point that I thought I might go into the field of counseling and or therapy. Not that that was what my major was, but it's, you know, people-oriented.
Sure.
So that really spoke to me. And so I very much enjoyed all of my classes that were relevant to my major. I think that's true of most people. It's why you major in what you do. But that's what I really just chose the right major, really enjoyed those classes. Had to take a lot of science going to University of Colorado. Not my forte.
Yeah, not mine either.
My forte at all. So that was rough. But other than
So once you got through the general education requirements,
oh my God,
Colorado,
and there were
was
so many
experience.
Too. I had to take so many, like 13. So,
did you go into Boulder knowing that that's what you wanted to study, or?
I did not. No, I went in. I went in open and had to select. Gosh, it feels like a lifetime ago. You asked that, and I was like, Wait, did I? no, I went in open and then chose that. But I mean, other than that, other than the academic side, which is obviously very important, I wasn't super heavy into clubs or any of that. But gosh, what's not to enjoy about having gone to school in Boulder? Hiking and taking part in all that outdoor recreation. Terrible at skiing and snowboarding. So going to see if I can tackle that again now that I'm out
Give
here.
Give that another try now that there's mountains around.
Yeah, otherwise I'll go up with my husband and my son and just, I don't know. Hang out
at the lodge, eat the good food.
Yeah, there's a spa. I'm all about that life. I'll give it the old college try.
Yeah.
Yeah, just the outdoor recreation, certainly.
So what's the biggest change from, like, Chicago to moving to Colorado?
Certainly, well, because I was uniquely in a college environment, I was going to school out there, right? Folks came from everywhere. So not just geographical, but just getting more of a taste of just – what people are like, depending on where they're from. There was a lot of students from California and Texas, and then Chicago was the third city that, or the Chicagoland area, Illinois, was the third largest place that students were coming from. So, I mean, obviously geography, but then, you know, it really was appealing to a lot of out-of-state kids, so just kind of getting that first taste in my life of, you know, you're not in Kansas anymore, you know, and just, you know, learning what makes people tick and how other people grew up and worldviews, different places in the country views.
Did you room with your sister or was she like, holy cow, I came to Colorado to
get away from you and now you're here, stay away from my closet. No, I was in the dorms. Actually, only the first semester of my freshman year, so I guess it's no and yes, because then the second semester, I moved in with my sister in her apartment. Candidly, I wasn't really enjoying my freshman year. It was a big change.
Yeah.
I am more of a homebody. I know my mother was like, oh, wow, you did decide to go further away. I thought you'd definitely stay close to home. And so I had a harder time adjusting, and that was the catalyst for why I moved in with my sister. I thought maybe I'd transfer back to, like, Iowa or just wherever. But I didn't. I stuck it out. And completed my 4 years there and ended up having a blast, but it took me a minute to warm up there.
Sure. Yeah, it often does.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay, so you graduate with a BA in communications. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What was the next step?
Yeah, so I went back to Chicago briefly, and then I moved to San Diego because I did have so many friends from California and didn't, you know, I still
These are friends from college?
From college, yes, okay, that's what I meant. And I was like, I haven't really even been back too much to, like, where I'm from, and not, so it felt more relevant to be in California where I had more friends that had moved back there post-college and I wanted to be near those folks. So I moved there and I got my first job at a human resources consulting firm in San Diego. But I was only there for a year. While San Diego is beautiful, it just wasn't for me. I definitely missed my family.
You hated that, like, 72-degree weather 12 months a year.
Whenever I tell people that I moved home from San Diego, they're like, why? I should just never mention it to people.
Yeah, San Diego is, like, famous for having the best weather in the country, right? Never too hot, never too cold.
It was beautiful. I actually made the mistake of moving to downtown San Diego because, being from Chicago, I just thought, oh, like, downtown's where you want to be. And really figured out that people live more in, like, those beach communities. So I moved to a beach community right outside of downtown called Pacific Beach, but I worked inland, so I had a terrible commute. That probably didn't help with my experience out there.
Yeah, spending half your week in a car or whatever.
It was actually pretty terrible. Yeah, but I just missed my family, I realized, in the end of it, you know, in the final analysis, and wanted to move back home, and so I did.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what'd you do in Chicago when you returned?
So when I returned, I really wasn't certain what I wanted to do, and I'm trying to think of the timeline, and it's probably not altogether that interesting, but it took me a little bit, actually, to really get a foothold or an understanding of myself and what I wanted to do. And so I did a lot of, I won't say odd jobs, but I was in the service industry. I did spend a number of years bartending, serving at restaurants, and that actually led to me taking on a position doing the marketing and events for a wine bar and restaurant.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. Which was actually somewhat how I met my now husband. Through somebody that I met at that position.
Okay, he wasn't working there with you.
He was not working there. No, I was working with a girl.
Yeah, well, let's hear this story. This is
since I mentioned it. Yeah, I was doing the marketing and events at a wine bar and restaurant in the Chicagoland area, and the chef, one of the chefs there, was went to a downtown event that we were sent to by our boss actually it was a wine tasting event to do some research and try to think about things that we could implement at the restaurant. And she was dating my now husband's cousin. And we went to lunch after what we were supposed to have been doing for work. And she had invited him prior to that day to meet us, unbeknownst to me. So it was a blind date that I did not.
Yeah, like a double blind date.
It was a double blind date, which I was not happy about. I'm an awkward dater, or I was.
Did your husband come into the date? You know, like, oh, there's this girl we want you to meet.
Yeah, he knew. He was given the scoop. I had no clue. We were sitting at lunch, and she was making phone calls trying to figure out where he was. And I was like, who are you calling? And then she let the cat out of the bag before I showed up. So then, of course, I'm watching the door like, oh, God, don't let it be that guy. Oh, God, don't let it be that guy. And so I was I was happy, needless to say, because it clearly ended up well, that it was my now husband. And we hit it off right away. I wouldn't even say we dated in the conventional sense. We were like best friends immediately.
Awesome.
So it really worked out, and I obviously owe her.
Yeah.
And she's...
Well, you get to stay in touch now if she's your husband's cousin, right? Or she's married your husband's cousin.
She's married, yeah, my husband's cousin. So we're all still in touch. So it worked out.
Yeah.
All in the family now, so, yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so... but from there, my husband and I, when we were still dating, moved to the city, and then... And that's where I got into the world of advancement. Yeah, that's where I started. I worked at Howard Brown Health, which is a community center in the city. A community health center in the city. and its mission originally and still is to eliminate the disparities in healthcare for LGBTQ+ folks.
Yeah.
But as a community health center, they, of course, serve their communities in their neighborhoods no matter what. So that was my first role in development.
Yeah. Rewarding work, I'm sure.
Very rewarding.
So how do you make that transition from, you know, kind of events and promoting a restaurant into, you know, healthcare development?
Yeah, because the position was development manager was what I was hired to do there. And it was overseeing or running their fundraising events. So that was the tie-in. The entire time that I was doing kind of work in the industry, it was fantastic, and it's to each their own, but I was always thinking about, like, what I wanted to do, what I would find rewarding, and obviously actively applying places, right? Because then I applied and was hired at Howard Brown Health because I knew that would be rewarding, something I cared about. I cared about the organization's mission. Mm-hmm. Not only was it a community health center, so there was that side of things, but social services, and they had kind of a plethora of
Is it a whole system, or... like multiple hospitals or clinics?
Yes,
or just one?
No, yeah. So it started with one. There was two at the time that I worked there, and I worked there for 4 years, and then they just blew up after I left. And now I couldn't tell you how many they have, but they have quite a few, and they're across the city.
That's cool.
Which is pretty awesome. So the connection was events, because I was in charge of fundraising events there. That's how I was appealing to them as a candidate, my experience there, but had never done fundraisers truly. And so I did learn all about the ins and outs of fundraising
and
events.
How was that transition going from,
that was,
you know, events to get people to come buy food and drink to...
Yeah, it was a lot. Yeah. Anybody that's done fundraising events know that there's a lot of moving parts and pieces. I mean, it depends, right, on if there's a silent auction or a live auction, how many attendees, like, you know, what are the components, and sometimes they're not as complicated as not. But yeah, it was a crash course for sure. But of course, rewarding, right? Because you are raising vital funds.
Yeah,
when
it's a cause that you believe in, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah. Can't complain too badly about going to work.
No.
To advance something that you care about.
Yeah, absolutely. I found it more rewarding. Not making a commentary on anybody that does do for-profit private events, but I found it certainly rewarding, and I found it more motivating, and that I liked it more producing events if there was a cause behind it, if I had that goal of raising money to support a cause. So for me, that was really important. but I, not only did I do that, but as I was there for more years, I got my druthers in, you know, various sides of advancement work, you know, annual giving and fundraising and things that didn't entail events, solicitations, database. This may, you know, people might turn the volume down now. It's getting pretty boring if you don't know about the advancement world. I don't want to. So I spent 4 years there, and then just really felt like I'd gotten what I'd wanted out of the experience.
Very cool. And,
yeah. So from there, I went to the Chicago Children's Museum, which is on Navy Pier in Chicago, in downtown Chicago. So what it sounds like, a real pier on Lake Michigan. It was cold in winter.
I bet it's beautiful, though.
Yeah,
what beautiful. A location.
Yeah, yeah. And I was manager of their annual fund and fundraising events. Was there for just about a year, or a little over a year. It was really a lot of things that I was juggling there, and so not super sustainable, at least for me. And actually then I got pregnant with my son, and we decided we wanted to move to the suburbs, and that's when I made the transition to higher ed and worked at Elmhurst University.
Cool. Yeah. Tell us about Elmhurst.
Yeah. So Elmhurst University, formerly college, just up to this past July, a small liberal arts college in the west suburbs, actually the one that I'm from. With about like roughly 3,000 give or take students, and that includes grad students. And I started there shortly after, a handful of months, half a year after I had my son, and I was the director of constituent relations there. So lots of stewardship work and events again, although they looked a bit different, and worked hand in hand with the alumni office. We were all one. But then also worked on fundraising, was collaborative in the fundraising side of the shop as well.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of what else there is to know about Elmhurst University. They'll be celebrating their sesquicentennial this year, their 150th.
Nice.
So I was...
So they've got a long history.
Long history, 1871. And I was spearheading or chairing the steering committee for that before I left. Lots of work to be done there. I'm certainly still very excited for them. We'll be staying in touch. My parents are still in Elmhurst, so I'll definitely be going back there.
Yeah, of course.
But I definitely plan to visit my Elmhurst University family because I have a great one there still.
Yeah.
And definitely want to celebrate that milestone with them.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool. And something that's kind of unique about that part of the country versus the West. We just don't have that same kind of culture of small liberal arts colleges all over the place. And certainly not old ones.
Yeah. 1871 is a while ago. Although,
1901 is when Idaho State was... established as the Academy of Idaho.
Right.
I'm trying to think. I mean, probably the oldest liberal arts school around here is probably Westminster College or Westminster College, or they might have changed the university too. Down in Salt Lake.
Okay.
And I think they were like 1880s, 1890s, so even a little bit younger.
Yeah.
But yeah, And something unique about the Midwest and the East is.
Yeah.
And those smaller colleges. Yeah.
And when you're that old of an institution, and maybe this is too general of a statement to make, but it was an all-male school, and I'm in with German roots, and actually I'm not going to dive any deeper into that because I can't articulate better on all that history there. But it certainly grew over the years as institutions
It's co-educational
do.
Now?
Yes, I absolutely.
Assume. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So I loved my time there, and I loved my team, and we keep in touch. But I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. So I know Idaho State was your next stop after
here
Elmhurst.
I am.
Tell us about how you landed here.
Yeah.
What was the motivation to go back west?
So my husband and I have always been talking about how we wanted to live west. For me, to be back west, right, because I lived in Colorado. And I stayed there for a short while after I graduated. My husband has not moved or lived out of Illinois and always knew that that's something that he wanted. He is a snowboarder and just enjoys mountain biking and all that good stuff. And so it's something that we've talked about for years. And then actually my sister and her family ended up moving out here in June, which is how we got the tip off about Pocatello. Yeah. my sister is an OBGYN. Uh-huh. My brother-in-law is an ER doctor. They both work over at Portneuf. My sister at the Pocatello Women's Clinic. Uh-huh. A little plug for Dr. Vanessa Cameron, if yeah. you're in need. So they moved out here, which was, you know, sad for us. But, again, it's how we discovered or, you know, learned about Pocatello. We admittedly were not familiar. And so I became aware of the fact that Idaho State University was here. And so I started tracking jobs here just kind of on a whim. Mm-hmm. And then... as you know, Ryan, there were positions that opened up in the alumni engagement and advancement world here. And originally, I'd actually applied for Amy's position on the marketing side of things because I was doing quite a bit of that in my previous position. But then the director of annual giving position opened up, and it made sense for me. I was very interested in the position, obviously, because I applied to it, and here I am. But I just thought, oh my gosh, like, what are the odds that these positions are opening up, the opportunities here at the timing that it is? So yeah, I went ahead and applied, and things obviously went well. And so we had a decision to make. Yeah. Okay, are we gonna?
I was gonna say, was your husband pretty surprised? You're like, your sister moves here in June. You're like, oh, I'll just kind of keep an eye on things. And 6 months later, there's like job offers.
yeah, that was October that the job.
I was thinking like years down the road.
Yeah, and we didn't have a timeline in mind. It was just something again we talked about, kind of not loosely. We were serious about it, but yeah, we had no timeline in mind. I don't know. I guess he was surprised, but he was thrilled. He was just thrilled that it ended up.
Has he spent time out west?
Yeah.
He lived out west, right?
No, he has not. Okay. He's only ever lived in Illinois, but I mean, he's visited Colorado to go snowboarding and things. Not Idaho, but he's just absolutely thrilled and was just, once it started to look like this could be a possibility for us, was just all about learning everything Pocatello and Idaho and is really gung-ho. Obviously, I'm as well, but yeah, he couldn't be more pleased. So we're just... Yeah, we're really excited to be here. We also really thought it'd be great to raise our son here. I have a 3-year-old, little boy, and we just think that he'll just have a blast out here and be a really grounded, cool cool kid and think this community will be a great one to raise him in, alongside also his cousins, my sister's kids. So.
Yeah, that's cool, too, to have family.
And... Yeah. She's got twins that are 4, and an 8-year-old daughter. And so it's nice because they're all younger, mm-hmm. and we can have this period in time, you know, where I get to be near my sister because we're close, and my brother-in-law as well, but that they can all really grow up together.
So it's something neat to be able to raise your families together.
Absolutely. Family is super important to me. It was difficult, admittedly, because my parents are back in Elmhurst and to make that decision, and my brother as well. But, you know, that's why there are airplanes.
That's right.
Well, we can do more of that, I should say.
And now safely. They all have motivation to come to Pocatello more often.
Two birds, one stone. It's not like we moved to, like, families, Seattle or something, right? Like, now they can...
Yeah, same place.
Exactly right. So,
your parents have lots of grandkids here now.
Yeah,
so that's
I know.
Motivation.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's really cool. It's something we're happy about as well, being near family here.
Yeah. Well, we couldn't be more excited to have you join the team here at ISU. And like we mentioned at the beginning of the interview, you'll be doing annual giving. Tell us what makes you excited about that work.
Yeah, so I was interested in moving to the fundraising side. Again, I had a hand in my previous position in strategizing around fundraising and helping with soliciting gifts, but not as much. And I was really interested in moving back to that side of the shop, so to speak. And annual giving appeals to me because, in a way, I consider it kind of not mass marketing. That's not the... Okay, we'll edit this part out.
So let me restart. Jamin, edit this.
What's that?
Oh, Jamin edits our videos, so or our recordings. So
yeah, no, I was interested in moving back to this side of the shop. I really enjoy kind of getting a finger on the pulse of what people are passionate about, what they want to give to, whether that be at the annual giving level or to the annual fund or a major gift. Like, I just really like to find out what people are passionate about, what they want to give to, and I really like writing messaging that's compelling to folks, mm-hmm. to motivate them to give. And certainly I want to be an integral part of securing vital funds for ISU. And so I'm really excited to do so, and hopefully to do so successfully here.
Yeah. Well, we have no doubt that you're going to do an amazing job. We couldn't be more excited to have you at the helm of our annual giving program. And from a personal level, from someone that's worked with our alumni for the past few years, I'm so excited for our alumni and our donors and our supporters and fans to get to know you. I think you're going to make a huge impact. And so if you want to get involved with annual giving and continue to help out with that space, I encourage anyone listening to shoot Lisa an email. Her email is lisap@isu.edu. A great way to stay re-engaged and involved. And we've gotten good news on the COVID front from the governor's office that numbers continue to drop in Idaho. The vaccine continues to get out, and so we're hopeful that we'll be able to meet in person and really introduce you, Lisa, to our alumni and our supporters.
I'm so excited to meet you all listening, and I can't wait. Yeah, I'm glad that I came here when there's light at the end of the tunnel on this journey that we've all had to live through during these COVID times, and I'm just really looking forward to meeting everybody.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for being on the show tonight. It was great to talk to you and get to know you a little bit better through the interview. We have about 90 seconds or so left, and we actually do have this is a student radio station. We have a lot of students that listen. Do you have any advice for any of our students that might be listening on, how to make the most out of their college experience 60 seconds?
That's a great, wonderful question. How to make the most of your student experience was the question, correct? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's unique to everybody, right? Dependent upon what it is you're studying. And if you're a sports, an athlete or a clubs person. But I will say that as I periodically reflect on my time as an undergrad, I didn't feel like I really took advantage, actually, of all the resources that were available to me. Not that I didn't, and I feel, I think remember to take advantage of all the resources that are available to you via ISU right now, whether that be on the academic front or clubs or sports front. You just kind of have the world at your fingertips. And I know ISU is providing you with wonderful resources and experiences. And so just make sure that you really take advantage. Take advantage.
Yeah, that's excellent advice. And we'll end with that. Thanks again, Lisa, for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
Support for KISU comes from Lookout Credit Union, the Southeast Idaho credit union that has the educational community in mind. It provides financial solutions to ISU students, faculty, staff, alumni, as well as local school district teachers, students, and many others. Lookout Credit Union currently has 2 branches and 7 ATMs on ISU's Pocatello campus for immediate access when required. Lookout Credit Union, formerly ISU Credit Union, continues the legacy of serving the educational community.
This and all past episodes of Bengal Tales, formerly Bengal Buzz, can be found at our website, that's kisu.org. And remember, Bengal Tales airing on the first Monday of every month at 7:30 p.m. right here on KISU FM.